Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice. Fair use. Successful crowdfunding. How to ask for music rights. And what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com.
Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Capan, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Our guest is Jonathan Rees, author of the exceptional book, Think Outside the Box Office. Think Outside the Box Office. Jonathan has produced and released another feature, Bomb It 2, the follow-up to the highly acclaimed global graffiti documentary, Bomb It. He's currently working on a new documentary. And Carol, I know that we're pretty honored to have him with us today. There's a lot of wonderful things that he has to share with us today.
Yes, and John, we all thank you very much for your brilliant book. There's so much information. I don't see how anybody can make a film without it.
Well, thanks so much.
Well, what we want to know is we understand that creating your market and your audience for your campaign while you're making the film is really critical these days, and you tell us that in your book. So I wanted you to take an example. I have a filmmaker in my intentional filmmaking class who's making a film called Caregivers. It's about the people who take care of wounded soldiers when they come home and how that changes their lives. So could you start us with this film, and let's talk about what you would believe her keywords would be to describe her film and how she would use those keywords.
Yeah, to me, you know, you need to think about what the keywords, you know, which would essentially be the metadata for your film. And at this point, you need to know that your metadata, because it's now a delivery item for many distributors, certainly for all digital aggregators. And what metadata is like, if someone's searching for something about the subject of your film or related to your film, they would find you because of those keywords that you not only submit to the aggregator, but you're also, you know, tagging your posts with, or you're writing about it using in contextual language within your blog posts, which help your SEO language. You're using them within your, you know, the SEO programming of your website, et cetera, so that people who are interested in your subject will find you. So for this film, you know, I would, you know, there's a variety of things. I guess two main subjects that I would work around words. I mean, and obviously this would take a little time to, you know, refine them. And, you know, you always want to brainstorm around them. But one would be, you know, collateral damage to soldiers in the Iran-Iraq war. And I don't know exactly what the term is, but, you know, I think you'd have to, you know, find out what those terms are. But there's been a lot written about, you know, how these wars have the highest survival rates or higher survival rates and lower death rates. But in fact, there's so many soldiers coming back with significant injuries, you know, and I forget exactly what that term is, and that would be something up for the filmmaker to figure out. And there's been a lot written about that, which is also when they then use these metadata to create Google searches to find out, you know, not only what's been written about, which gives them, you know, information for their blogs and for their social media to talk about, so that as people write about these subjects, they'll be notified, like, what is being written about these subjects so that they can post about these to kind of outreach to their audience. It also is something they can consider for hashtags or Twitter, but it's also when you do a Google search around these topics, you know, you're also going to find organizations and the people who are involved in these topics and are writing about these topics. The other aspect, because the film is not just about that, but is specifically about people who are caregiving, that you'd want to do, you know, I think caregivers would actually be, you know, a term to start with. And, you know, I would do a search for some permutation of caregiver, you know, Iran, Iraq veterans, collateral damage, or whatever that other term is, and see what you come up with. You know, because I believe there probably are, and you'd want to refine that term of caregiver and see if there's another term that's being used by the VA, by the Pentagon for these people, for all of the, for all these topics. You'd want to see what the Pentagon is using in relationship to this. And not just caregivers, but you'd want to do families of wounded Iraq and Afghan war veterans, things like that. And, you know, just start Google searching and see what words kind of like are the most effective words in these, you know, in the scenario, you know, for this topic. And by doing that, you're going to, you know, and I think, you know, anyone who has a sub, you know, has specific things, you know, niches that their film deals with, and obvious ones such as this, I mean, it's one of the first things, you know, that you should be doing.
Wow, that's great. I understand that. When you go to, on Google, do you use that Google Analytics, or you just put it in quotes, or how would you do that?
No, I would put it into quotes, and, you know, you can do an advanced search in Google, and, you know, it's just like, stick it in the Google, you know, I would just start off, you know, you can do like different things in terms of quotes and then, and, you know, quote, blah. So it, you know, it doesn't just give you caregivers. It'll give you caregivers of Iraq so that it finds, you know, all those, you know, items that have all those words in there. So,
okay.
You know, so that's, you know, analytics are a little bit more for later when you start looking at your, you know, the people that you're, you know, or the traffic that you're already having, you know, so.
Okay.
And then just.
That's what to do, use it that way. All right, well, tell me about your book says that it's important to find your unique selling position. So what would you say might be her unique selling position for caregivers?
Yeah, I actually, you know, that's, you know, I also just kind of refer to this also as kind of like the brand of the film, you know, and, you know, and it seems like it's, she kind of has it on the front page of her website where she says it's the first film that addresses the people who are taking care, the caregivers of the people who are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. And in a sense that, you know, if that is in fact true, that is her unique selling position in the sense that no one has told their story before. You know, so in a sense, the audience isn't so much the soldiers themselves coming back, who would probably not be, you know, an engageable audience, but I imagine, you know, her audience is actually their families, you know, and, you know, I would very much doubt that they're not organized already in some fashion. You know, and, you know, that there's advocacy groups for families of, you know, veterans and probably, you know, there's probably even different segments of veterans and veterans who, you know, have PTSD. There's veterans, probably there's organizations of, you know, families, you know, support communities of families who have, you know, severely injured, you know, vets coming back. So those are, you know, that to me is the, you know, the core audience of this film and, you know, and, or the niche of this film. And the core would be the people that are already active in writing about it and advocating for it online and also especially within organizations. And those are the people that I would go at, you know, start to create a dialogue with first.
So you would connect with those people. You would suggest that she create a dialogue and start to connect with some of these organizations, right?
Yeah. I would just, you know, and what you want to do is, you know, just kind of see the lay of the land and, you know, who's most active and so I think it's better if you pick it up and, yeah, sorry. You know, see you know, I think the big thing is you want to do, you know, spend a little time on research and kind of like looking and seeing what's in the world and seeing, you know, because a lot of these, you know, a lot of niches are, you know, there's different alliances and, you know, different, you know, some organizations, you know, have, you know, a little bit more power and maybe a little bit more difficult to penetrate. You know, you just want to make sure you're aligning with the right people, in a sense, you know, and that's what I do with the research. But it doesn't hurt to do, to reach out to most people initially and just create a dialogue and see who's interesting to talk to you, you know, because certainly, you know, the film can be used as an organizing tool. I think they should definitely look at Invisible War, you know, and this, but this would get to be what the, you know, this would then go back to, we'd have to look at what the goals are for the film. And for the filmmakers, and but Invisible War would be an excellent example of, you know, a campaign that, you know, was developed around a similar issue, in a sense, not similar issue, I should say, but, you know, one that has certain, you know, because it's about, you know, the military and, you know, and this, that's more about military malfeasance. This is a little bit more about people coming to terms with the results of, you know, their loved ones being involved in these wars. You
right.
know, but my understanding, I've seen, you know, since I watched Jon Stewart, I mean, Jon Stewart, you know, kind of writes about this or talks about this a little bit, you know, and those guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan have really, you know, been not well treated by our government, you know, and which is really unfortunate. And like I just heard yesterday there was a statistic, and they, this would be something for them to be talking about on social media as well. It's like, you know, there was a statistic that came out yesterday that, you know, there are more soldiers now from Iraq and Afghanistan. I think there's more soldiers now who commit suicide, that die by suicide, than die on the battlefield.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And that's, like, shocking, you know. So, and that's, you know, it's, you know, they have something that they can really start to rally people around. And I think they would start with the niche of these caregivers about these severely injured, you know, and I think, you know, eventually you can spread that out to, you know, many veterans' families, you know, who, you know, have had, maybe they're not so severely injured, but they're somewhat injured, and, you know, just people who have not, you know, who come back, and, you know, there's a whole PTSD community. I'm sure a lot of you know, the issues are similar, dealing with the VA and, you know, et cetera. Like, I think there's going to be some common ground there, you know.
That's so brilliant, John. You really know how to think laterally. Well done.
Well, thank you.
Some of my friends are consulting with you, and so I wanted to go over some of the things you do in your consultations. And I know the first thing is that you create goals on how to develop the project and what you want to achieve, right? Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, to me, it's everything, all the decisions that a filmmaking team makes about a project should be geared towards what, you know, their goals are. And in order to do that, they need to come to terms, you know, figure out what those goals are. And those goals are not like, a lot of times I get filmmakers who say, you know, I want a theatrical release. Well, that's not a goal. That's like a tool towards some other goal. You know, so a theatrical release would be a tool towards, you know, these days, either garnering reviews for kind of, you know, some kind of same aspect to their career, which is, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. You know, but you just have to balance it against other things. Or theatrical release is a tool towards VOD, you know, but if your goal ultimately is to have as many people as see the film as possible, you know, I would almost say that in most cases, a theatrical release is not the way to necessarily get that done, you know. So, you know, to me, you know, goals kind of break down into a few basic things, one of which is money, to earn money from the release. Another thing is to change the world, you know, to affect people's opinions. Another thing is just to give life to the film and have an audience, as big of an audience as possible. And that's often the case for people who are just starting out and doing their first films. You know, sometimes they just want the film, you know, to see the light of day. Or for people, there's sometimes films that, you know, didn't meet up to your expectations and, you know, you just want to get it out there. And then there's some people who just want to communicate with an audience and they don't, you know, maybe their film has been funded. It's not necessarily something that's going to change the world, but they just want people, they want to express their creative vision to other people. So that's, you know, another goal, you know. And then the one of the things that, you know, is a foremost goal for a lot of people is, you know, career, you know. And so there's two ways of looking at career that I talk to people about. One is the traditional, people trying to do that traditional career launch of festivals and theatrical release with reviews and getting an agent and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the thing is, and in the book, you know, I mentioned that as one of the goals, but, you know, that's relatively gone for most people. I mean, it works to an extent, you know, and there's variations on that now, where, you know, it, to me, I view it as a dependent fame goal, you know, and I should actually write that down because I've actually never put it in those terms, where you're kind of dependent on other people to make your projects. And to me, what's more, you know, what filmmakers, I encourage filmmakers to think about is creating more of an artistic entrepreneurial career, which is more of an independent, you know, career, and how this film, you know, kind of connects with people, you know, connects, helps you connect to an audience that potentially can then sustain you, you know, or that you can have a relationship with over time. Now, it's not necessarily these days, you know, not all films will help you become sustainable as an artist. Most art has always been a situation where, you know, people have to find other ways to make a living to do their art, but it's certainly something that is definitely helpful to achieving all your other goals. So, you know, that's, all of this is, are things that I, you know, initially talk to clients about, and especially with a notion of where does this film fit into their career, and where is it, like, in terms of what stage in their career they're at, and how will this film and the release of the film integrate and help their careers? So, you know, that's, you know, those are all considerations to have. And what you want to do is determine this in advance so that it, you know what you're trying to achieve, you know, with the release. So, for instance, you know, just to give you a selling your film, say you have an offer to, you know, say IFC comes along and says, you know, we'll buy your film for $50,000 for all rights. Now, on the one hand, that could be good for some filmmakers who, A, don't want to have anything to do with distribution, and B, you know, feel like the IFC stamp of approval, you know, will help them on their kind of more dependent filmmaking career, you know, and will, you know, get them in front of other producers, make them more credible as a filmmaker. But it won't, you know, help them in terms of developing a connection with their audience, because with most kinds of all rights deals, you're not going to be able to do any kind of direct-to-fan, you know, engagement, or you'll be limited on your direct-to-fan engagement, specifically in terms of sales, so that you're able to, you know who is out there, who is willing to contribute to you and further your career. So those are things, those are the kinds of considerations that you need to think about. For most filmmakers, they're not really in the situation where IFC is going to come along and offer them $50,000. You know, it's like 50,000 films made every year. You know, those kinds of even small deals like that maybe happen for 100 films, maybe 200 films max a year, you know, and that's on a really good year, you know. So there's thousands and thousands of films out there that are not going to have that as an option.
Are you saying 50,000 films are made a year, John? I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, you know, the figure that those are 50,000 films that are kind of like out, you know, on the film festival circuit trying to get into film festivals and trying to get some sort of distribution deal. Yeah, those are the estimates that, you know, kind of I've heard from Ted Hope and Brian Newman, you know, in their kind of research. Yeah, so it's a very crowded media marketplace, and so the odds of, you know, the traditional way of doing things are very small, you know, even in, you know, you know, and, you know, if you get into Sundance, you know, that's great. You know, there's like 6,000 films that apply to Sundance, 200 get in, so the odds are very slim. And then of those, you know, maybe 20 or 30 make deals that make some kind of financial sense. You know, so that's a very small percentage out of those, you know, 6,000 films that applied, 200 that got in, and 50,000 that are floating out in the world out there.
Right. Less than one half of 1% it would be. Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow. Well, while we're on this, I just want to ask you what you think about this theatrical on demand. I interviewed Scott Glosserman at Gather, and I rather like that whole idea for films that have an audience that are doing what you're talking about, building your audience ahead of time, and have audiences across America that could help put people in theaters in small towns where you might never get a theatrical release, but
yeah,
there are people interested in your film there.
Yeah. So, you know, that to me is great. You know, it's an amazing, it's a great tool, and it just depends on you having really engaged fans who are passionate about your project who want to set up a screening and promote that screening to, you know, people in their community. You know, so without those super engaged, super enthusiastic fans, it's, you know, those kind of, those systems, you know, are difficult, you know, because they're dependent on having people, you know, pick up your film and be, and want to, you know, and want to promote it. So, but where you have done that work, it's great. It's really a wonderful tool.
Yes, I think it is too. Well, let's get back to what you do in your consultations. You create an audience analysis. So what is that all about?
Yeah, well, I actually help filmmakers do this. So to me, you know, audiences, you know, which is what this is all, everything that we do is, you know, about audiences is, you know, essentially a four-step process. So first is identifying who your audience is. You know, what kind of niches are out there and potential cores for those niches and super cores or super fans that are out there. Then after you've done that, so that's the first thing. And it's, you know, not necessarily going to be one, you know, one group. It could be several. So, for instance, with the breast cancer documentary that I'm, you know, producing, one of our natural core audiences is, you know, people who have breast cancer, who are survivors of breast cancer, then all their friends and family, you know, their extended networks, you know, and then, you know, kind of like the larger cancer community in general, including, you know, starting off with breast cancer physicians and, you know, people who deal with breast cancer on a daily basis, you know, so that's one group of people. But another group of people is, because it's kind of like a women's health issue, a larger women's health issue, you know, that's also another community. It's not just limiting it to the breast cancer community, but also women's health in general. Then another group would be women's, you know, more feminist and women's oriented, you know, organizations like National Organization for Women, for instance, you know, also feminist studies and general studies classes and departments around the United States, because it does, you know, our director is a feminist theorist and she's approaching it from, you know, issues of the body and, you know, and also the mythology and the history around the breast and why breast cancer is focused on, not just from any medical perspective, but also like what the role of the breast in society is. So, you know, those are the we spent a lot of time reaching out to breast cancer organizations, and we're just about to start reaching out to women's health organizations in general, as well as women's groups, you know, as well, which we see, you know, will be, you know, potentially strong supporters of the film.
Wonderful. Well, I know that you helped develop a strategy to engage those audiences. So that's the next step that you work with people on, right?
Yeah, exactly. So the next thing is, so like, who are the audiences? Then where do those audiences receive information? So, for instance, in the breast cancer community, it's, you know, there's people who blog about breast cancer, there's breast cancer organizations, and there's a number of social media sites around breast cancer. I mean, those are, you know, there's other places as well, but those are like the immediate places. And so I've been spending the last 7 months, you know, connecting with various breast cancer organizations in the United States, and I'm about to start working on international organizations as well. And, you know, we haven't really started social media yet, but we've been researching and finding, you know, who are the bloggers who are out there, what are the social media sites, et cetera, you know, and the reason we haven't engaged in social media is because, you know, breast cancer can be a very hot-button topic that people have different opinions about, and it's kind of like you can, you know, you want to definitely go in there not only respectful of the community and speaking with an authentic voice, but also, you know, understanding the various, you know, kind of issues that are in that world. And so, you know, I haven't really felt that we've been prepared to do that yet. And I feel like we're about, you know, we're about to start engaging with that. And I feel like we're about ready to be able to do this, you know, and this is, you know, probably a year out or 8 months out from our release.
Okay.
So anyway, so where do those, you know, so where do those play, where do those audiences receive information? And then the third step would be, what value can you provide to those communities? You know, and, you know, what can you, and that is much beyond, you know, just the feature film. Now, the feature film is one thing, you know, but what kind of information and communication and connection, et cetera, can you provide to those audiences? So one of the things that we're trying to do in the breast cancer film, just as an example, is to create an online storytelling platform where people can share their stories about breast cancer. And that's done a lot on the web, but no one has done it, you know, in a really searchable way with searchable and then also being able to use video, audio, and text. So that's something that we're trying to or working to set up, and hopefully we're going to launch the beta of it in February, and as a way to, you know, kind of connect and provide value to the organizations that we're working with as well as to the audience that we're working with. So, you know, so that's just one example. And then for the women's community, you know, one of the things that we're working on creating is kind of a timeline of breast cancer treatment and kind of like online discussions, you know, kind of like as a reference timeline for people who are interested in women's health, women's issues and notions of, you know, the mythology of the breast, you know. So that's another aspect, an online thing that we're considering creating. It also depends on, you know, the funding for that. So,
so how much are you budgeting for your website?
Well, the website, that website, the storytelling website, you know, somewhere, because we have already someone who's created an online platform that we're adopting for this, so I can't really say how much, but it's, you know, it's not as much as you would think it is. You know, one of the things that I did is I found a piece of technology that already existed and figured out a way to use that technology for another purpose. So, you know, you know, in the, you know, in the thousands of dollars, you know, maybe into, you know, I mean, you know, if we had 50, that would be awesome, you know, but I don't think we'll, I don't think we need that, you know, and I think we can get started with less. One of the things that we'll have to do is pay a moderator, you know, but we're going to try to use, you know, as many volunteer moderators as possible, and we'll see how that goes.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds great, John. Well, I know you did a successful fundraising campaign for when you were for this documentary. So have you got any tips you want to share with us about that?
Well, I actually did the fundraise, the
That was for Vomit, too, right?
Yes, yes. And you know what I just realized is I think I have my son's phone in my... Diana, do you mind bringing this into Sam? I accidentally took my phone and my son's phone. We have the exact same phones, and I realized there was a phone ringing in my pocket, and, you know, it was my son's phone, which, you know, he's probably wondering where the hell his phone is. Sorry. No, actually, the crowdfund campaign I did for Bob and Two, which is, you know, the sequel to Vomit. And we did that in the summer. And, yeah, no, it was really, and that's also one of the ways that I encourage people to, you know, develop audience that, excuse me, I have to take a...
John and Carol, I think perhaps I'd like to spell the name of the film so that it's real clear what the title is. It's Bomb It, as in...
Yeah.
Yes.
B-O-M-B, as in boy, and then next word is it, you know. So it's about graffiti and street art around the world, and, you know, one of the things that... you know, people, when they go out, they go bombing is what it's called. So
yes.
Especially graffiti right. writers. So we did a crowdfund campaign, and I actually just did a post that's on the Film Collaborative site about the 10 things that I thought, you know, I learned doing the campaign, and I tried to keep it different from, like, a lot of the posts that you read, you know, about, you know, crowdfunding. And one of the things that was interesting is that it really confirmed how it's really still as much about developing and connecting with an audience as it is fundraising. And I think it's a really great tool for that. And it's also one of the things that we didn't talk about, you know, is, you know, after the fourth aspect of your audience, to figure out what media your audience will consume. And what's interesting is crowdfunding and the rewards that you set for crowdfunding are a great way to kind of almost test market what people are interested in, what your audience is interested in. And so, you know, I think that's rather interesting. And then just to step away from crowdfunding and just to get back a little bit in terms of how I work with clients, you know, then the four ways that I look, you know, at, you know, a release, you know, in terms of engaging an audience with your final product is, you know, events, you know, which I used to call live event theatrical or event theatrical, so that it, you know, so that to kind of encourage filmmakers to think about events more as opposed to just thinking about a quote-unquote conventional theatrical release. And then secondly is merchandise, third is digital, and then lastly is immersive and interactive. You know, and not everyone's going to release in all those different ways, and it's not, you know, it's, but what it is the whole goal of this is to figure out what strategy is best for your film that meets your needs. You know, and then the other thing to factor in is what your resources are. And so what you can accomplish and how you can achieve your goals with the resources that you have.
Wonderful. Yes, that makes a lot of sense, John. Well, tell us how people can reach you if they're interested in a consultation or your book. What's your
website?
So
they can reach me, yeah. My website's johnreiss.com, JohnReiss.com, which, you know, has been a little funky today. Hopefully it's going to get fixed soon. And then in lieu of that, they can always email me at john@hybridcinema.com. And that's J-O-N, it's always no H. And then so for John Reiss, it's JohnReiss. And then Hybrid Cinema is HYBRIDCINEMA.com. And, you know, then we'll get back to you. And, you know, the other way, you know, people can connect with me is via Twitter. So it's John@John_Reiss, R-E-I-S-S, or I also have a Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Reiss.John. So
wonderful.
And those are all the different ways, you know, to connect with me. And, yeah, and if people have a question, sometime in the next week or so, I'm going to start this kind of like where I respond to people's questions on with YouTube answers. So, you know, if you have a question, and it can be, you know, a manageable question, not just like, how should I release my film? But, you know, if you have a question of like, you know, what's a digital aggregator, or how do I, you know, connect with a digital aggregator, or anything more specific, you know, I'd be happy to entertain that.
That's brilliant, John. Okay, great. Yeah. We'll be looking forward to that. So send me an email when that gets started so I can help
you. Okay, I will.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today. We have learned so much. It's always a pleasure to hear how exciting your life is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just kept on talking and talking and talking. Did you have any other questions that I didn't allow you much of a chance to answer?
No, you did a fabulous job. I think it's really important, the things that you're talking about. And you're so organized with how you handle a film, to take it from I want to make this film to here's what your goals are, here's how where your audience is, how you find them, how you connect. You just take it one step at a time, and you end up with a very good plan.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. And, it seems to work for people. So that's, you know, and I've kind of, like, honed it over the years. But, you know, it still seems to be very helpful for people as a way to conceptualize, you know, their film and, you know, and ultimately their career as well.
Oh, it's very important. And going back to the first things that you were talking about, why are you making it and what are your goals? And, you know, that you want to change the world, you want to give life to a film, and all of those things are really important. And it's very easy to see that you have been down this road many times, and there are lots of options, and you're there to guide the right people to success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Fun as always.
Thank you so much. All right, we'll be in touch. Take care.
Okay, thanks, Carol. Okay, bye.
All right, bye, John. Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Claire.
See you next time.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.